The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
The Transatlantic Jazz Exchange is a newly formed project that aims to foster artistic growth and promote cross-cultural understanding. Completed its first residency with the multi-instrumentalist and composer Mark Franzman, also known as Sonic Citizen, who in the U.S. met few of jazz world's most renowned musicians, including pianist Rodney Kendrick, James Hurt, Will Calhoun, Ravi Coltrane, and Craig Harris. And after the exchange's resounding success, the project is delighted to introduce the pilot artist in residence for the South African version of the exchange, and he is a prolific and celebrated jazz musician, Renee McLean, who embodies the spirit of this extraordinary initiative. Here to talk to us about this, please welcome to the show corporate professional and arts activist Nasia Sreya, alongside jazz writer and columnist Ron Scott. I want to begin with you, Ron. You know, the Transatlantic Jazz Exchange, what is it, and how did the program come about?
Okay, so Nasia and I have been discussing about trying to do some type of transatlantic situation for over 10 years. First, we were trying to figure out what it was going to be. We knew we wanted to have musicians from America here and South African musicians, but we weren't sure how to piece it together. So ironically, you know, we just kept talking, moving along, and as things would happen, you know, it all fell in place. And last year, Nancy and I was talking, and she was like, you know what? If we're going to do it, we have to do it now. You know, we can't wait anymore. So I said, okay, great. She says, I have a great musician, Mark Franzman. And I said, okay, cool. So basically what the organization is about is we have Mark Franzman came to New York and Chicago, and he also went up to Hartford. So he actually spent 3 weeks in America. Then we have American musicians come here. On this leg, we have Renee McLean, who, as you know, is a great musician. And ironically, Renee was actually one of the first people from America to actually do a transatlantic jazz exchange, because he was a one-person show. Because when he came to South Africa and he decided to stay here for some years and teach, he was sharing the culture of America, Black culture of America. He was sharing the American music, which, as we know, all comes from Africa. He was sharing that. So he was coming with a different perspective, but on the same track. So over the course of him being here, he's educated tons of students, you know, and in America, he's at the Hartford University, where they named the music department after his father, the Jackie McLean Institute. And there, he's probably influenced just as many musicians. When Mark was in New York, and we went up to Hartford for a few days, and he had opportunity to do a master class and also actually do a gig, his own gig, and also do a jam session. The majority of all of the students, no, I would say all the students there were students of Renee's.
Yeah.
Because we were sitting at the table and they all were coming up, oh, you know, Professor McLean, how's it going? You know, so he's like, he's a living legend, to say the least.
Yeah.
So the program is based on sharing our cultures, experiencing our cultures, playing the music, having an opportunity to actually sit down with the musicians. It's like the musicians you mentioned, Ravi Coltrane, Craig Harris, James Hurt. Mark actually had an opportunity to sit down, talk to him about his music. They talked about what they were doing, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a total exchange and sharing of everything.
Love that.
That's probably what we're missing. We have these musicians over here, these musicians over here, and you only hear their music, but to say, well, what made you write that tune? Or I play that same tune, but I play it in A and you play it in C, you know, like, why? So you have time, because the 2 weeks gives you enough time where you can actually hang out with the musicians, talk. You could go to their gigs, Mark, because that's where Mark met Robbie Coltrane, at a rehearsal that Craig Harris was doing for a big band, that they were doing a presentation of Sam Rivers' work.
And can I just
Love
quickly
that, love
jump in
that.
just on that?
Yes, yes, yes. I
Sorry,
think.
just on that point of Ravi Coltrane. So the interesting thing, for example, he meets Ravi Coltrane, and then the conversation is actually about how Ravi was completely inspired by Bekim Seleko when he came to New York, and how he played with him, and that influence of Bekim Seleko on Ravi Coltrane's music, and how he would love to come here too. So it's that it is that continuous sort of exchange between the South African jazz musicians and and the US-based musicians.
I actually want to jump in now and bring you in, Nasia, around this work, that you are doing. I mean, you've done a lot of advocacy work, I think, around the different fields, including social finance and natural disaster relief and so on and so forth. But this time, you're wearing a completely different hat. Why did you decide to get involved in the work of the arts?
Yeah, no, that's an interesting question that you've connected that. So, I mean, obviously, as a South African, we grew up during apartheid. So our orientation and our consciousness in terms of social justice and activism is like part of who we are, right? If you grew up in our generation, I'm not that old, but obviously, as somebody who grew up during apartheid. So, and so there's always this feeling of, how do we serve? How do we help? I spent 15 years abroad in New York, so I was able to go over there for work. And my sense was always like, we're part of this country. We were part of the new democracy. I feel very compelled to give back, and I was not going to be part of the brain drain and part of the immigration. I wasn't trying to immigrate. I was really trying to get the work experience, whether it was on Wall Street or however, and come back. And obviously, at the time when the democracy was changing, I mean, as much as we may have loved art and wanting to go into art, the reality is the country needed, economists and accountants and all of that. So that's where my formal education went. But it was always as part of playing our role. And so in that sense of trying to help and trying to traveling across the world and seeing the way communities and social networks and even governance networks are set up around whether it's homelessness issues, like when Katrina happened and how that disaster was obviously handled, and the race element that came with that in Indonesia, the way their disaster was handled and the way communities came together and dealt with that, right? But then when you look at basically, all our communities that we come from, these marginalized communities, I'll put it that way, whether we call it poor communities or disenfranchised, there's always that similar thread in terms of the resilience, right? There's obviously the trauma, but then there is just the, I mean, art is just art. And whether you're the visual artist or the musician, there's something so beautiful and healing that is coming out of these stories of like pain and suffering, wherever it is in the world. You can go to any of these neighborhoods, and even in Sudan, you'll hear this like most amazing music that comes out of their struggle. So that is how, I mean, I've always kind of been into the jazz scene when myself and Ron were was when I was living in New York, and I would go with Ron to all these jazz clubs. I mean, it was very, there was a sense of familiarity, between the musicians and the South Africans where we come from. And so then the question was, well, how do you actually use art and music as a way to sort of still support that spirit or that intention of social and economic development, rather than focusing on just purely, let's say, school education? Yes, music plays a huge part in that. And then the other element is around, I mean, whether you're rebuilding a house after a hurricane, there is a healing when people come together, and there's a certain frequency, around, in this case, the music. So as much as it is about the beauty of sound and frequency and bringing our musicians together, it's also bringing our communities together, and this sort of transcendental sort of feeling of, you know, overcoming whatever our current circumstances are.
Love that. Of course, Kofifi FM, we are in conversation with Ron Scott and Nasia Saria of the Transatlantic Jazz Exchange Program, unpacking the work of this project and some of their experiences. Of course, they join us this Sunday because they're getting ready for the South African Exchange with the prolific and celebrated jazz musician Renee McLean. Now, Ron, back to you, sir. You know, Renee is a musical visionary and a multi-instrumentalist, you know, and he will take center stage, leading us on a captivating journey, you know, that spans continents and transcends, using the words of Nasia, transcends boundaries, you know. And this is also taking place, I think, through a series of workshops that will be held over the several dates. You know, please briefly share, what are we sharing over these workshops? What are we talking about?
So at the work, well, there's two things to share. One thing is Renee is also an elder at this point. So he's sharing his experience, the experience of playing with his father, the experience of being a godson of Sonny Rollins. You know, so he's sharing all of that experience. He's sharing how he got into music, why he got into music, why music is important. If you're a musician, you have to study. You have to practice, you know. So he's sharing all of that. Then he's also giving master classes to show, to give students some insight into how to play, you know, or other techniques of playing, because everybody has their own technique. But sometimes you need somebody to kind of tweak your technique so you could play better. So he's doing all of that. Yeah. And was, like we both said before, is bringing the cultures together so we can share the music, so we can all transcend. Mm. Because, as I mentioned before, the music is from the roots of Africa. You know, it just so happened that as Black folks, we were taken all over the world. You know, so we're all playing music, and there's a similar thread to all of that music. You know, and part of what we're doing at Transatlantic Jazz Exchange is connecting that thread. And then whoever's a part of the organization and does the residency, then wherever they go, they could spread that further.
Yeah. Yeah. And Renee spent over 10 years, I think, living in South Africa. And he is, of course, one of the originators of the South African Jazz Exchanges during his years as a professor and a musician at the University of Cape Town. You know, I'm interested. In fact, we are interested to know, Ron, if the program will be looking at developing some of South Africa's young jazz talent, you know, with the possibility of taking them abroad, of course, to learn some of the at some of these prestigious institutions, a scholarship program of sorts.
You read our minds, because this is the conversation we just had in the car, Nasia, myself, and Renee. We just had this conversation like a half hour ago.
Yeah.
And that's what we were talking about doing.
So Renee had an interesting comment yesterday around that basically when you're teaching, you're actually not teaching, you're sharing. So as much as you're giving, you're actually receiving. And so a lot of his students, like Mark Fransman, Chantal, Willie Peterson, Lucas Seniato was there, and Prince as well. You know, they all shared about the experience with Renee as well, and this idea of mentorship. And then yesterday at the workshop, Kai Mahlangu's student and whom he mentors from Wits University, Sibonelo, he played, and they did an ensemble, a jazz ensemble workshop, and it was so beautiful because it was like the elders, you know, the young talent in our country, and exactly about the mentorship and almost like a transmission, you know, through the music. Sort of the continuation of the lineage. And then also part of the genesis of this whole project on the South African side, you know, when Renee was actually very influenced by Yuma Sekela, by Brayu, which is what brought him here. And the activism, again, I'm not sure if it was back to the 70s or 80s, but there was a school in the Cape Flats called MAP, which was Music Action for People's Progress. It was an activism school that, you know, it was created around, you know, fighting the struggle, but it was musicians. They would do festivals, music, and a lot of these musicians like Jackie McLean came to the school. So we were actually talking about, like, how do we... and then Rene teaches at the Jackie McLean Institute, and he himself is still so inspired and wants to be back in South Africa. And then I said, you know what, we should just do that, like set up the continuation of the spirit of those schools, right. Yeah. Which is community-based. He called it an arts collective. His mom actually started an arts collective in Connecticut and really community-based. Mm. And that is really the platform then, you know, where you've now got somebody, you know, like-minded again from a community-based organization in the US, setting something up here as a community-based organization, a school, a music school, and then you've got the platform on both sides. So it's not just that the student graduates or then has to go to the university and then kind of make it, you know. Now we've got a platform for them to go over to the US, perform here, you know, set yourself up in this way, you know, just create the exposure. Yes. Our project is not a commercial enterprise. You know, it is about the deep exchange, and it is about the music and the exposure. Absolutely. For the musician.
Absolutely. Yeah. Building communities. About, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and also it's about the community.
Building communities using jazz.
Because the community is key, because they start some programs and it's for the elite. You know, it's like this private school or this private school or this Ivy League college, and we're grassroots.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
We want to deal with the young kids that are into music, but they can't afford an instrument.
You know? Absolutely.
So at some point we'll be able to do that, or we want to just expose them to see instruments and hear the music and say, hey, live music, okay. I can relate to that. But the unfortunate part about it, and this is here and in the United States, a lot of young kids, especially if they live in a quote inner city, they never even see live music. They see live music on television. But if you actually, and I've done this when I was working in the school system, asking a student, what does the bass look like? She had no idea. You know, so it's a matter of introducing him, letting them know that live, there's instruments, there's live music, and you could be a part of this if that's what you choose to do.
Absolutely. Kofifi FM, it is all about the Transatlantic Jazz Exchange conversation with Ron Scott and Nasia Surya. And we've been talking about the project and the visit that is on the horizon by Renee McLean, of course. And talking about the workshop, Nasia, who is it targeted at? Can anybody from the community walk in and be part of the conversation? Or will musicians benefit better from this or these sessions?
Yeah, so no, it's really open to all of the folks you mentioned. So, you know, Vitz has really kindly, very graciously just got, you know, partnered and gone with it. So it was everything from the university students to then the public coming in. So some musicians, other audiences, or just, you know, people who know Renee or love the music. Through telling his story. So Renee, because of his, you know, health issues, he's not always able to just play at the moment. But even in terms of him telling his story and having his students there, you know, telling their part of the story and what it meant, it really brings together that essence of what the exchange, what this type of exchange, the power that it has. And one of the main themes that really came through is this idea of mentorship, which a lot of the universities, you know, are trying to do. A lot of the schools, you know, as much as they are students or folks out in the communities that may not have access to even listening to live music, you know, there's a lot of, we have such amazing talent, as you know, in this country. And there are a lot of young kids in the townships, in the communities that are so amazing that don't even know that they are that amazing,
right.
You know? And if they have access then through this project to, let's say, a working musician in New York that is not a celebrity or well-known, but is a working musician, now they can share their compositions and they have someone there who believes in them, who is checking up on them, who's giving them feedback on their music. So creating that thread really, you know, is what it's about. But then the community around that. So, for example, when we go to Cape Town, we're planning on an event in Khayelitsha, and it is going to be an open workshop where you know, musicians and students are going to come. We're also doing some high school workshops. But we then said, you know what, let's just tag on a couple of hours and we open it to the public, and we're going to have the musicians. Actually, we're going to have a lineup and we're going to do like a public concert so that the folks coming home on a Friday evening, you know, from Khayelitsha can pop into the community center and just enjoy the music. And it would be free. It's like funded. So that sort of is how it creates both sides of it.
I want you to tell us as we wrap things up here, you know, over the course of the week anyway, my social media was abuzz with the posters of these wonderful events that will be taking place, these live events that will be taking place, you know, this past week being the 14th, et cetera, et cetera. How do, you know, future events, maybe going into the Cape Town scene, et cetera, with Verts and the sessions, how do people then participate? I mean, where do they go? Please direct us.
Yeah, do you want me to?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this being our launch event, you know, unfortunately, we haven't gotten on top of all our social media. And again, it was really in the essence of, you know, let's just do it. You know, let's do the pilot. In fact, I meant to correct. Mark actually spent nearly up to 3 months there. So the plan was, we're going to do a pilot in New York, in Chicago, New York. We're going to do a pilot in South Africa. And we're going to just actually, it's artist-led on both sides, and we're going to see what the outputs are. How do we measure, in a sense, is Mark playing differently even? You know, what was he's been his inspiration? How has this created more energy and output for everything he's putting out there and for the communities that he's representing? And similarly for Rene, what is this going to, you know, we're going to measure and see, okay, what is the feedback been, you know, with the partners that we've created? And then once we set up all our, you know, websites, social media, obviously the grants and the donor side of things, we want to ensure that this is a sustainable project going forward. So we would like to have a South African and US exchange, you know, at least annually as a minimum. And then open it up that way. But in the meantime, with its music advocacy, you know, even on the South African side, where let's say Mark can continue to do masterclasses, or where we can sponsor some live performances again in the community. You know, that is kind of the essence of what we and then for sure creating this mentorship, because there's no real funding needed for that. We have the musicians in the US, we have a lot of young students on this side, so that type of program we can you know, we can kick off already. So yeah, I mean, you could just contact us. We've got the email, the Transatlantic Jazz Exchange at gmail.com, but we will be setting up all our social media, and I think the jazz community is quite small enough that we all kind of know how to reach each other. So through you, they can always reach us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank and of course, you. We look forward to the workshops of the exchange, and most certainly the incredible music that will be on display at these events. Really look forward to, you know, marveling and celebrating music from a global, you know, perspective, because it's the best of all worlds coming together in one session. Really look forward to that one, of course. And thank you so much for taking the time, you know, to join us ahead of such a busy and exciting exchange.
Thank
program.
You for inviting us.
Yeah.
I look
yeah.
forward to maybe seeing you at one of the programs in person.
Oh, absolutely. You can count me in.
All right.
You can count me in, of course. And listen, the work that you do, it maybe validates who we are and the work that we do. You know, when we are able to come together and create spaces for young children, young people who are musicians, budding jazz musicians, to come together and learn one and perform two and be part of a community from as young as they are, you know, knowing very well that they'll be, you know, mentored and be a part of an ecosystem. That's the word I'm looking for, that will celebrate their work continuously for years to come. So thank you for this work that both of you do. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for putting out all this amazing music every week.
It is a pleasure. Of course, they are the corporate professional and artist Nasia Siri, alongside writer and jazz columnist Ron Scott, talking the Transatlantic Jazz Exchange on The K-Jazz Show.